Welcome to the Powered by Transova podcast, where Transova team members and industry experts will cover how our reproductive toolbox of embryo transfer, in vitro fertilization, sorted semen, and cloning technologies can multiply the success within your livestock breeding program. Throughout our series, we will also cover a wide array of topics such as frequently asked questions, management and care advice, as well as client and location highlights.
Welcome to another episode of the Powered by Transova podcast. Emily and Sarah here once again, and we have a fun topic planned out for today, and we're going to be discussing donor care. So all the cows that are responsible for making embryos and all of the money and the genetic progress of your cow herd. We're going to get into it today with our Iowa donor team. And actually, I guess it's not really the donor managers anymore because Josh has a new job, but we'll let him talk about that some more. But we're joined with Josh Tweet and Denton Ulrichs, and we're happy to have them and get into some of the nitty gritty of donor care today. So we'll start off with some introductions and we'll hop into it. So Josh, why don't you start us off?
Absolutely. Thanks, Emily. So my name is Josh Tweet. I reside in Hudson, South Dakota, which is just a half hour away from our main Transova center here in Sioux Center, Iowa. I've been in the donor department 10 years, and up until 5 days ago, I recently switched positions to now the site manager. I'll still be involved with the donors and other aspects of Transova, but it's been a fun journey in the donor department. I've learned a lot, and I'm looking forward to continuing to be involved with it and seeing where it can continue to grow.
My name is Denton Ulrichs. I'm from Merrill, Iowa, which would be just about 30 minutes south of Sioux Center here. I grew up on a club calf operation that me and my dad run together. I have been through the Transova donor program for full time here for about 4 years now. I previously worked here part time during college and stuff like that for about 5 years. So basically, I'm full time on the donors. Just do a lot of the day to day kind of thing around here and continue to take care of them and strive for multiplying success. So
look at him using our keywords already.
Yeah. It's a little full circle because I used to buy my show calves from Denton and his family. And I remember coming out to Iowa and Denton and Claire were just little kids. So it's fun to see everybody grown up now.
For sure. Yeah, I still think of them as little kids. So if you could not burst my bubble, that would be great. But anyway, it makes me feel old. But thank you both for joining the podcast today. We appreciate you joining to talk about kind of donor care and management and kind of offer some insight to those who are looking to learn more. Josh, could you tell us about the Transova, you know, donor housing? Where is it offered? And kind of, you know, what maybe sets the donor housing department apart? You guys can brag on yourselves a little bit for this portion.
Sure. So we offer donor housing at 4 main locations through the Transova facilities. We have one in Boonesboro, Maryland, Sioux Center, Iowa, Bryan, Texas, and we offer one in Missouri as well. Here in Iowa, I feel like we have excelled at the donor program. We have a relatively new barn that's 5 years old, and it was designed to really excel in donor housing. The pens are small. We can put your donor in where she fits in based on her nutrition needs, her size, and how she's going to handle other cows. Every pen is designed to be low stress. By that, when we give shots, none of your cows have to leave their pen. Every pen has its own established shot alley, so she doesn't leave her pen until she goes to the chute to get her OPU procedure done. We have the ability to control the environment the best we can with the curtain in the back of the barn, fans in the summertime, and in the wintertime like it is right now, they are belly deep in straw and they couldn't be happier. And the cows also stay on a mineral tub that is closely monitored. You can bring us your calves. They will be on a creep feed program too. And the calves are also paired up with calves similar to their age, so we're not battling sickness and try to control everything we can. And really cow comfort, low stress, and good results is the main three pillars here in this donor program that we strive for.
Yeah. And I think that leads to our next question. Thanks for setting us up for that, Josh. What are, you know, talk about cow comfort and controlling the environment. What are, you know, what are the top three things that you think are important to donor care when it comes to embryo production?
There's a couple things that really kind of pop to my mind when it comes to being really important as far as, you know, donor care and the embryo production. The first one would definitely be nutrition. We always try and make sure them cows are on a very, very good plane of nutrition. It's one that kind of, you know, it boosts their embryo quality and definitely make sure their embryo production levels are at their highest. You darn sure don't want cows too skinny. Make sure they're in great shape and good health. And we try and keep them cows from being obese too. Obese cows are usually kind of be a problem. Their embryo productions maybe aren't near as high. So we try and monitor that new plane of nutrition really, really well. And like Josh said, they're always on mineral tubs year round, no matter if they're on grass or if they are getting fed here in the winter months. So we always try and manage that the best we can. The other thing that I really, you know, that targets to my mind when it comes to being very important is just stress management. And Josh said, you know, previously, well, this barn was designed for them cows to be low stress in a low stress environment. Like he said, those cows do not leave their pens unless they're getting a procedure done. And I think that's a really key thing. You know, if we're chasing these cows through a chute or whatever the case may be, anything like that might trigger them to stress. And so that'll reduce our embryo quality levels, that'll reduce our oocyte numbers, especially in IVF donors or even in ET donors. So stress management is a huge thing, just making sure them cows are extremely comfortable at all the time, make sure we're handling them properly. And like Josh said too, this barn has the shot alleys in them, so we don't have to run them cows through a chute to give them shots or anything like that. The other thing that I guess would come to mind for me is just general management, just taking care of the cows. You know, make sure their, you know, pens are clean and stuff like that. Making sure they always have the appropriate amount of feed in front of them. Making sure the bedding's cleaned and all them kind of things, you know, just general health and care of the animals is really important. So I'd say, you know, we've had plenty of people ask us, you know, what do you guys do different that makes these cows work? Because we'll bring them in on a haul-in basis or whatever the case may be, or we've had them somewhere else halfway across the country. And we always tell them, you know, it comes down to, you know, those three key things is the your plane of nutrition, just the stress management, and then general management in general. So I think that's really important for them. And, you know, we always like trying hitting them topics as much as we can to say, hey, these are really important when it comes to making embryos here at Transova.
Very good. It sounds like you spend a lot of time managing details and so many different elements that go into donor care. And, you know, obviously these donors are kind of near and dear to a client's heart, right? Because like you said, they're trusting kind of their baby in your hands, so to speak. And so attention to detail for sure is definitely key in your guys' roles. You've both mentioned that you've been in this job for a number of years. You know, Denton, when you started, you know, kind of even before you started at Transova officially, and Josh, your tenure, is there anything that surprised you? Or is there anything that you've learned along the way that will kind of always stick with you, you know, that you've been with on this kind of donor care journey?
Sure. I would say the one thing I've learned / been surprised by is when that client drops off a cow that's towards the end of her production years, we'll call it, whether they're old, get a little stifled or crippled. And just with our management setup here in these pen setups, we are able to keep that donor for more years than they expect. And we've also seen once they get into our care and management styles, them cows will actually produce even better than what they were originally for the client. So that's one thing I always liked. A part of this is when they technically bring us a donor that they struggle with, and we can show them that, hey, we just need to change a few things and we can keep her working for you, because we want to keep that factory going for them as long as possible. Because we do understand the importance of these donors to that operation and what it means to their bottom line. So we take great pride in it. And plus, it's fun to go around in the fall and see all these calves that we recognize their mothers, because we take care of them every day. And it's really rewarding to work with all different types and kinds of cattle through our system.
And I would have to agree with Josh on that. You know, that's the one thing that surprises us. You know, people we'll say, hey, we've had problem cows, whether it be we can't get them bred or, you know, they're older, maybe towards the end of their production careers. And they've brought them here to us and telling us a story on them and stuff like that. And it surprises me every time how well, you know, we change a few things and how well them cows do here in this donor program here, especially in Sioux Center. And we can make them work and maybe add a few more production years on them, or we can kind of capitalize on that and make them more embryos. And, you know, I would say about 99% of the time, all them clients leave here and they can't believe how well them cows have worked here. And they're super happy with the results. The other thing I would say that's always surprised me is you never know what's going to come off the trailer. It kind of makes me eager to work, to come to work every day. And, you know, whether we could have anything from, you know, a club calf cow to a Angus cow or whatever, or everything in between. It's just, you never know what you're going to get. And it's always surprised me how we can make all them donors work in a variety of different ways. You know, whether we do different shot schedules or whatever the case may be, it's just every day is a new surprise for me, and always eager to learn and figure out how we can strive to make them donors work for everybody.
So what I'm hearing is Josh and Denton sit out in the pasture and just pet cows all day and love on them. And that's the secret. No,
you can't be telling everyone our secrets, Emily.
Got it. No. And I think, you guys do a great job. And I think the one thing that, is important to say is clients that utilize the donor housing, I mean, and they bring cows in and that are not working, it's not because they're totally mismanaging. I think it just helps that we have a dedicated team that's all your focus is on those cows specifically. And sometimes that's just what operations need, because obviously at home they've got hay to make and all the other things. And sometimes these cows just need a little extra attention, and these guys do a really great job, as they've said. And one thing we should have prefaced probably at the beginning is that Josh and Denton work mainly with the beef cows, and Luke Fober does the dairy in Sioux Center. And he does really great work with those dairy heifers too on site. And Josh and Denton, you guys were talking about, clients bringing in donors and being surprised on how well they do. Have you ever come across a situation where somebody calls and, you know, gives you a scenario and you give them advice and it works? You know, what are those common mistakes that you're seeing people make at home with their donors?
I don't know if I call them much as mistakes, but kind of to echo what you were saying, Emily, is that a lot of our producers get busy with other parts of their operation, whether it be harvest or dealing with other chores and stuff like that. So, you know, sometimes the donors cannot be on that consistent care that they need to be on in order to make them work as good and as well as we do. So I would say that's where it really pays to have your donor housed here in Iowa. If you're one of them operations that really has 9 million irons in the fire and the last thing on your mind is trying to make a few extra embryos, I would say bring her in here. Let us take one iron out of that fire for you, and we'll get them working for you. And I mean, like I said, that is our one job here. We show up every day and take care of these cows, make sure they are comfortable and make sure they are producing as good as they can. And we have a system to track how they do day in and day out. And we're always manipulating shot schedules, trying new things to get these donors to continue to perform well. If we think that cow can kick out one more embryo per IVF or ET flush, we are going to make the necessary changes to get that to happen. So I would say, since this is our one focus in our profession, like, we take a lot of pride in it. We look forward to seeing the day 7 results. So we're going to do everything we can. And this is all we worry about, is your cow making good embryos for you.
Very good. You can tell that you guys have a lot of pride in what you do. You can, you know, there's a lot of people that we have on this podcast, and you can tell that they're passionate about your jobs, and you two would certainly qualify into that category as well. Josh, you just mentioned, you know, an OPU for an IVF procedure, or, you know, conventional embryo transfer. You guys see donors probably go through both of those scenarios. And due to the nature of your jobs, you're valuable to kind of the client consultation piece. If there's a client that's kind of torn between, you know, conventional embryo transfer or an IVF procedure, you know, what are some of the questions that you're asking them, or how do you help them kind of, you know, weigh those options from a donor perspective?
Yeah, this is actually one of the questions that we get brought upon us from several different clients, you know, all throughout the course of the year. And, you know, we always ask them, hey, you know, how important is it to get embryos as fast as you possibly can? You know, say somebody has a fresh transfer, you know, trip or, you know, an implant date set up here in 2 weeks and we got to have embryos for them. Then we'd probably say, you know, IVF is your best result for that. You know, we can get embryos every 2 weeks on your donor. We're collecting them donors every 2 weeks. So I think it's a faster turnaround on IVF, and we'll ask them, hey, you know, how soon do you need embryos? And we'll also have clients that'll, you know, go into IVF, you know, maybe in our busy season is what we like to call it here in Sioux Center. It's one of them, you know, it's the course of the year where mainly everybody's breeding their cows, getting them bred in this part of the world. And then, you know, it might be the off season and they're just trying to bake up some embryos so they can put them in for next year's busy season. And then we might go into ET. We'll ask them, hey, you know, if we're not wanting to make embryos every 2 weeks, then let's go to the ET plan. Just because it's a longer turnaround, you know, we can flush them cows every 40 days here and stuff like that. But I think it's just kind of on your basic needs. You know, IVF, we can make more embryos faster. ET is kind of a little bit, you know, it's a longer turnaround, but I think the results are definitely there. We have good conception rates on both ends of things. And so we just try and ask them, hey, you know, what's your needs of your cows? And then we also figure out, you know, do those donors work very well in IVF? You know, if they do, then, hey, maybe we need to stick this route. Or, you know, we've had donors that maybe don't work as well in IVF, so we'll switch them to ET. And, you know, we've seen them just knock it out of the park in the ET side of things as well. So we try and cater to the client and see what their needs are first. And then maybe if it comes later down the line, then we'll see if the donor works better in IVF, we'll keep them enrolled in that. And if not, then we'll enroll them to ET and see what happens there. So, you know, we try and talk to the client and fit their needs the best way as we possibly can.
Perfect. I think, you know, I think that's a great conversation to have with clients of weighing their options and what works best for them, their goals and their donor. And so I think that's all helpful information. And I would like to, you know, make sure that we provide lots of feedback and advice for anybody that's listening to this that are, you know, wondering about donor care and getting the best results possible. Is there anything specific that you would do differently in extreme heat or cold seasons? We're working into the winter now. Is there anything that you guys do there in Sioux Center to help with embryo production during these seasons?
Yeah, so it goes, all that ties directly in with why we designed our barns the way we did. Like I said, we may not be able to control the weather, but we do our best that we can to control the environment that these cows live in. Right now in the winter months, like I stated earlier, they are belly deep in straw. That straw is always dry. They are always comfortable. The pens are cleaned as often as possible, assuming we don't get stupid cold and it freezes down really hard. On them nice winter days, we have the ability to open the curtain back and we get some natural light in there to help keep the packs dry. Cows like to lay and get a little sun too. The pens here also have the ability to go out on the dirt, so your cow's not just living on concrete. They can get some relief off their feet and get on that dirt if they so choose. So we let these cows really decide, like they have so many options and they can kind of pick what's most comfortable for them. And we let them choose that option. And then in the summertime, every building, the cows have the ability to come off the grass, get underneath buildings, and every building has fans. And they are all monitored on thermometers. And we can also physically turn them on too if it's more humid, but the thermometer's not relaying it to the fan. So we really do the best we can to keep these cows as comfortable. And we let them kind of decide what they choose is the most comfortable situation for them.
Very good. It kind of reminds me of like if the donor doesn't succeed, then we don't succeed. And it sounds like you guys are making sure that you're doing everything within your, you know, within your power beyond Mother Nature to make sure that those donors are succeeding. You guys have a lot of experience under your belts in this area, managing all of those details. What would be the biggest piece of advice you would give to somebody who's currently managing donors, wherever they may be?
The biggest piece of advice that I would probably give to somebody, you know, if you're managing donor cows, is just the pay attention to the details. You know, that's one thing that we stress around here, no matter if you're working in the barns, you know, with around these donor cows, or even if you're up doing the procedures and stuff like that. We always say, hey, pay attention to the details, because that's a matter of making a difference of making one more embryo or not. And, you know, even when it comes down to the donor care and comfort, you know, having clean pens, you know, all the time, we make sure that that's highly stressed upon, just because that's a detail, you know, or even, you know, this cow's, it's going to get hot this afternoon. Like, let's make sure these fans are on and stuff like that. Make sure they're always comfortable. I mean, there's another detail that we stress very, very much. So we always look at them donors every day and just kind of, you know, let them, you know, speak to us a little bit, whatever they need, we try and cater to. And I would say my biggest piece of advice is just pay attention to the details and watch the cows. It's no matter what you do, you know, in the agriculture world, like details are kind of the difference between succeeding and failing. And we always try and pay the biggest close of attention to them. And I think, you know, that's what propels this donor program here in Sioux Center ahead of a lot of places, is just because of the details. You know, we cater to every single cow, and especially, you know, when we're going to make shots and stuff like that for next week, getting them ready for OPUs and stuff, we look at every individual specifically. We'll go through there and look at how their performance has been, and you know, hey, maybe we need to change this, or maybe if we think we're going to get a couple more embryos out of that donor. So it's all about the details, and that's just one thing that we stress upon very, very much around here, is just the fine things.
Yeah, and then to echo what Denton said, it is all about the details. And then my biggest piece of advice would be, obviously, you get through, you manage all the little details, the low stress environment, then I would follow up with, just don't get stuck in your ways / be afraid to venture out and try new shot schedules on your donors, or try all the available options to you if something's not working. Sometimes I feel like people get so busy with the day-to-day life, they get comfortable doing the same thing, whether that be a one shot, a four shot, or a no stim. And you really don't know how your results can be changed without taking that dive and trying something different. And whether you speak to myself or Denton or one of our CSRs, we're always there to help and provide those available options to you on what we think can work best. And if you're not happy with the results, we're going to bring you a different option to try next time. And that's really where I feel like you need to try, or to run a successful program, you need to be just available to try different things and not get so caught up in staying in your ways and not venturing out to do other ideas that could potentially affect your production.
Yeah, those are all great points. I think one of the other things too that you mentioned, Josh, of just having a conversation with your client service rep and with either you or Denton. And I think the other thing too is, even if you don't house a donor at Transova and you're just hauling into a satellite center, have a conversation with the vet or the OPU tech that's doing the procedure about what they feel. I know I've often seen you guys shoot side on OPU day when the in-house donors come through, and talking to the people doing the procedures and just having a conversation about what they feel and what they're seeing on the ultrasound. How important is that conversation to have too?
Oh, it's huge. It's a big part of why we are their shoot side, because we want to see if that cow only had, say, 5 medium follicles the time before we changed her shot schedule, we're hoping we can see 8 mediums this time on those ovaries. And it's always good, because the techs might see something that we don't, or give us a piece of advice that maybe we don't know about. And it's always good to keep the lines of communication open between the techs, the herdsmen, the embryologists. It all comes full circle. And when everything's clicking away, you know, that's when we're seeing the best results. And I would say, with how much pride everyone takes in their each individual department, that's what we always strive for the client and for the success of everyone's department, is we are striving for the best results. And we communicate with each other and always giving advice to other individuals that we think could work to help their program go even further.
I would agree with Josh on that. You know, I think it's very important to ask questions. You know, to, it doesn't matter who you are around here, we're always, you know, we're all ears. There's no question that's, you know, too out of our realm. It's just, you know, it's what we do every day, and we strive to have them to be the best cows and have the best results for you. So I think, you know, just asking questions like, you know, hey, what's the donor barn look like, or what are you guys feeding them cows to make them strive for their success? Or, you know, is there anything that we can be doing different at home, whether your cow stays here or not? I think questions are really, really important. And even on our end, we always like to ask, you know, the client too, hey, tell us about your cow. You know, is she bred or is she open, or what's your goals that you have in mind with them? We'll work with you the best as we possibly can to make them successful and make their embryo production career successful. So, I mean, like Josh said, you know, questions are one thing, like, you can never ask enough of them. I think it's very important. And, you know, even as herdsmen, you know, you'll see us up there while they're doing OPUs and stuff like that. We'll always be asking questions and kind of pushing those texts. Hey, is there anything that we can be doing on our end to make these cows improve and be better at what they do? And or we'll even challenge them texts like, well, why did you do this? Or, you know, whatever the case might be. We're always pushing everybody to be the best that they possibly can, especially on the day-to-day basis. So, I mean, just questions in general, I think, are really, really important when it comes to making these donor cows work and, you know, kind of put us to the challenge. We always like a challenge, you know, or a challenging question to just kind of test us once in a while to make sure we know what we're doing too. So,
got to keep you on your toes, right, Nitin?
Yeah, exactly.
I think you've, your last comment does a great job highlighting how important and integral the communication piece is. And I would consider Transova kind of a bunch of puzzle pieces, right? We're all working together to put our puzzle piece into place and make sure it fits. And, you know, every department has to work together seamlessly, you know, for full circle communication, like you've just indicated. And so I know without you guys and your work and what you're doing with those donors, none of the rest of it works, you know, and it just kind of, it's a chain reaction, so to speak. And so I know we appreciate your guys' attention to detail. Is there anything that you had hoped to talk about today that Emily and I weren't smart enough to ask you? Careful how you answer that. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, I can see the look on Denton's face. Like, oh.
Why do you think my camera's off?
Yeah.
I think we touched on a lot of good points. Obviously, if this podcast gains a lot of traction, more questions develop, I'd be happy to do another one. You know, one thing I would always say too, to kind of circle back on the whether ET or IVF is right for you. We like to ask them clients what is their marketing capabilities. Like, if they are one that can sell just bulls or just show steers, then we're going to obviously push them more towards the IVF route and get them the product that they can sell best. And then to echo what Denton said, on them off seasons, we do see guys switch to ET, because some guys just like to still have that good old ET embryo that you know is going to get cows pregnant and do what they need to do. I don't know if there's much else. I would say the pregnancy days on IVF has maybe gone towards more of a longer days versus, you know, the general consensus was always 100 days, which if you're playing it safe or coming from a long ways away is still a good recommendation to kind of go by. But we are starting to see we can get closer to that 120, 140 on these IVF cows. And it's starting to become the new trend. I don't want to say it is the new trend officially, but I would say don't be afraid to kind of test these cows a little bit too. And always the worst we can say is, well, she's done. I would always say, bring them in and we'll do our best to at least get one ovary and keep them embryos from being produced, or keep producing embryos as long as we can.
Very good. I'm glad you added on the pregnant donor component of that, because that's something that we've talked about in other podcasts, but we haven't necessarily brought up as in depth today. But Josh, you have to be careful offering to do this again, because Emily and I will find you and we will make sure we get you back on here. So
yeah,
if you're listening to this episode and you have more questions or questions we didn't address, we're going to link either Josh's information or Emily and I's information so that we can either do a follow-up episode or get you connected with one of these two individuals we have with us.
And one of these days, they're both going to be sitting in the booth in Denver to answer questions live in person, but not this year, but eventually I will get them there.
I think I was there last year. Maybe wasn't in the booth, but I was roaming around somewhere.
you failed to show up at the Transova booth.
So we're going to have to give them an air tag. and like, yeah. We'll have to track them down.
There you go. Yeah. And like, I guess the other thing is, you know, Josh and I was open for questions. We've actually had a number of clients that have called us personally just to talk about their cows and what they can be doing. So, you know, maybe if your CSR doesn't have the question for us or something like, or for you or something like that, you know, we'd be glad to help you too. And, you know, there's no cap, you know, there's no cap on who can help you around here. Everybody's always on the same team. We all have the same goals in mind. So, I mean, usually everybody around here can answer a question. If they can't, they know somebody that will have the question for you. So,
absolutely. We'll find you an answer one way or another. Awesome. Well, thank you both for joining us. We appreciate your time today. And again, for all of the work that you do, as you guys are close to the cow, so to speak. And so we appreciate that. We will link kind of contact information to this episode. And like we said, if you have further questions, make sure you're reaching out to a Transova team member and we can continue to address those on this podcast. But thanks again, guys. We appreciate it. And we will see you on the next Powered by Transova podcast.
We appreciate you tuning in to Transova. If you have any topics you'd like to hear more about, send an email to moreinformation@transova.com. Thank you.